News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, in May 2023 alone, approximately 13.8 million people, which represents a third of all adults using the internet, viewed porn online. My next guest argues that we should be addressing porn addiction with the same seriousness as alcohol or gambling. And Dr. Paula Hall from the Pivotal Recovery in the UK joins us this morning. Good morning to you. You've been obviously working in this field for a very long time. I suspect this is a deeply covert issue that people don't talk about very much. How, if somebody was listening this morning, might they identify to themselves that they have an issue with porn or indeed that their partner has?
Yeah, absolutely. This is one of those problems that people don't talk about. And of course, there are many millions of people out there who use porn recreationally and don't have an issue with it. But I think if you're someone who knows that it's getting in the way of other things that are important to you. So if you find you're looking at porn when you should be at work, you're looking at porn when you should be, well, maybe getting the kids ready for school this morning, or when, you know, you could be having sex with your partner. It's just getting in the way of everything else. You've tried to stop, but in spite of all those negative consequences, you still can't stop. I think, frankly, at the end of the day, you know if you've got a problem. You just know you've got a problem, and this is I'm
so
not,
it's coming between you and your real life. That same as other addictions coming between you and your relationship. Does it have the other things that other addictions might have? That kind of you say you're going to stop, then you can't stop, then you have a kind of a cycle of self-loathing and all of that. Does that come with it too?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes one of the misconceptions about this is the feelings of kind of shame that can come with it are some kind of sexual moral shame, you know, oh, pornography is terribly bad, I shouldn't be doing it. And of course, for some people, that may be true. But for most people, the shame comes from that sense of dependency, the fact that they've actually turned down going out with friends because they'd rather stay at home and look at porn, or they've decided that, yeah, they're not going to go to the kids' school play because actually the house will be empty and that means I can jump online again. So it's that sense of dependence that tends to give the shame.
So you're opting out of important milestone moments in your life to watch online.
Things that matter to you. And the other thing is you find you're getting preoccupied with, when will I get online again? How long can I finish off early? Can I knock off early? Or when is the house going to be empty? When will I get the screen to myself? So you're kind of creating opportunities. It starts taking up more and more of your headspace. But I tell you, the other sign is when it starts escalating. It starts with porn, but you start crossing some of your own boundaries. You go into the webcam sites. You go onto the chat sites. You start going on to the adult hookup sites. That's when you really start thinking, oh my goodness, where is this going?
So is that kind of veering from porn addiction into sort of sex addiction? Is that the territory you're entering?
It's that kind of escalation. And if you compare it to alcohol, it's kind of, it started off with just, you know, one can of beer a night and oh my goodness, I'm now on half a bottle of wine or whatever.
Can I ask you, does it also start to impact on your ability to, I suppose, gain satisfaction from normal intimacy with your partner and things like that? If what you are used to seeing is that very sexualized pornification of sex, and therefore that's quite a specific, I suppose, way of presenting sexual relations. Maybe there could be add-ons with violence, but equally, even without that, that there are, you know, other elements, and also people coming through, you know, they're not coming through. They're not. I'm trying to pick my words very carefully. I'm aware of the time of the morning, but that it is affecting their ability to, I suppose, enjoy normal sexual intimacy with a partner because of what they're seeing online.
Well, and you don't have to do the washing up first and make a cup of tea afterwards. All these other practical things that often happen with couple relationships, finding the right time, making sure the kids are asleep or whatever. Yeah, absolutely. But it's the other thing that pornography does is it dishes up endless novelty. Endless variety, endless novelty. Think about it like food. It doesn't matter how much you love rice pudding. After a while, you might get a little bit bored of it. And those of us in long-term relationships know that kind of stuff is true. But actually, pornography is like the ultimate buffet table that just keeps on giving endless variety. No partner can compare with that. No partner.
Okay.
So, yeah, absolutely.
So therefore, it starts to make maybe sexual relations with your partner less satisfying, less enticing than they might otherwise have been?
Yeah. You start losing your appetite. Go back to the food metaphor. You start losing your appetite. And, you know, if you get used to eating junk food all the time and somebody says, do you fancy an apple? It's, you know, really healthy and good for you. And you go, actually, I'll have a pork pie. I'm not sure where pork pie came from. Well, sorry about that.
No. I appreciate anyway. In terms, do you think as addictions go, because obviously it is very intrusive and it is affecting relationships and it is affecting people's lives, are we not taking it seriously? There's lots of help available for people who are addicted to drugs or alcohol or gambling, and those things are understood. Is this much less so?
Yeah, and one of the challenges has been that from a kind of academic perspective, there are still kind of arguments over, is this really an addiction or is this an impulse control disorder? How do we actually classify this? What are the best treatment options? What kind of treatments have actually been researched? And that's one of the reasons we set up Pivotal Recovery as something that would be research-based. So there's all those kinds of things. So it makes it very difficult for governments to kind of do the stuff on providing the necessary services when actually the academics are still trying to exactly understand and precisely pinpoint how it happens. I mean, frankly, it just frustrates and annoys me because meanwhile, there are many, many people. They reckon 4.6% of the population struggle with this problem and we're still not providing help. And we're not providing education either. And I think that is the critical bit for the young people in the world today that have been brought up with smartphone. They need to know about the potential risks. Look, not you're all going to die if you look at porn, but there are potential risks for some.
Look, thank you very much for joining us this morning. That is Dr. Paula Hall from the Pivotal Recovery in the UK. Let us know what you think. If a third of all adults are viewing porn every month who are online, that's a very significant number of people. Obviously,
is that the figure?
That was the figure taken from 1 month. They looked at all the clicks online in 1 month last year, and there was 13.8 million people in the UK online, and that was one third of all the people online who are adults.
That is,
and obviously not everybody has a porn addiction, but you would imagine lots of people do, and it's very, very hidden out there. If you, this is your moment. We have an anonymous text line. Let us know what you think. I'd love to hear from you this morning. 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.